How do you do? Some people find that starting an addiction is far easier than stopping one. And for others, admitting that they do have a problem is harder still. But fortunately, there is someone ready to forgive and deliver us when we finally hit bottom and admit we can't fix ourselves. This is what happened to the man in our story, when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Hey, Mom. She's still in surgery.
Oh, what's taking so long?
I don't know. They won't tell me.
But they said it would only take 3 hours, and it's been almost 6.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
How are the kids?
They're okay. Dave and his wife took them back to their place.
How are you holding up? How's your back? Those grills helping?
I'm okay, Mom. I just hope Kelly is. You think they found something worse when they got in there?
Son, we can't assume, but we can trust God. Let's just pray right now over the phone.
I need more gauze here. How's her blood pressure?
120 over 60. Her heart's strong.
Wish I could say the same for the rest of her. This young woman's got the bones of an 80-year-old with osteoporosis. Okay, take these clamps off and get her sewed back up. I'll wash up and tell her husband what we found.
Proclaiming the good news through true life stories, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. The work goes on at Pacific Garden Mission, work that began more than 140 years ago, when a little woman with a big heart opened a refuge. Lives were changed, and they told others. The mission keeps growing, adding more ways to help the perishing. Each day, hundreds of men, women, and children receive free food, clothing, and shelter, counsel and classes to send them forth stronger than they were when they arrived. The reason lives are changed at Pacific Garden Mission is because the real work was finished at the cross. And like the man in this story, the truth sets them free. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3567 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. And now, the story of a man who came to the end of himself when the world he created came crashing down around him. Based on his booklet, Rebellion to Responsibility, we bring you the true story of God's miraculous intervention in the life of Julian Weber, right now on Unshackled.
That was me lying on the operating table that day. I was only in my 30s, but desperately needed a hip replacement. Why that happened all started because... No. Let me go further back to the beginning. By the way, that man waiting in the hospital was Julian, my husband. His early years were very different than mine. He was born in Germany, near Munich, and when he was 9, his father took a job in Kansas City. So off they all went. Just before Julian boarded the plane, his grandmother gave him a crash course in English. She told him there were only 4 words he needed to know.
Yes, no, oops, and sorry.
His mother told me that in school he had to use the word sorry nearly every day.
Mama?
I'm in the kitchen making dinner. I couldn't decide between schnitzel or sauerbraten, so I'm making bratwurst instead. Julian, your shirt's torn. Someone picking on you?
Nein.
Tell me the truth.
Someone called me a German pancake, so I called him an American pancake, and then we started fighting, and the teacher sent me to the principal's office.
No more fighting.
Ja, Mama.
According to Julian, things eventually did get better. In high school, he became best friends with a kid named Bill. Like many boys that age, they had 2 interests in life, music and girls. When Julian was 16, they formed a garage band, hoping it would attract the girls.
Man, Julian, that last song rocked. We're really getting good at this.
Yeah, but the lyrics aren't gritty enough. Let's write a song about demon and zombie stuff and give it a Halloween vibe.
Now you're talking. We can work on it this weekend.
What about tomorrow night?
I can't. Mike invited me to hang out with his college friends, remember? Hey, you want to come along?
College girls? Serious? You bet I'll be there.
Yeah, come on, man.
Glad that's finally over. I hate bowling. I thought we were going to a party tonight.
I thought it was fun. You're just sore because I got a higher score than you did.
Whatever. So, what are we doing now?
I think we're walking the girls back to their dorm.
Cool. Now the real party can start.
Hush, Mike's talking.
Hey, before we say goodnight, I thought we could thank God for the fun we had and ask him to bless the girls. Especially with all the studying they have to do. You don't know, come on. Let's pray. God, you are so awesome. And we thank you for the many ways that you have blessed us in this life.
Wow, I have never heard anyone pray like that.
Yeah, it was like Mike and Jesus were best friends.
You gonna go to that Christian concert he invited us to tomorrow night?
Yeah. You going?
I think I am. I want to find out more about this Jesus thing.
That concert was the beginning of a new life for Julian. It would be a few more years before he and I would meet, but one of the reasons I fell in love with him was because of what happened that night.
Julian?
Hey, Mike.
I didn't know you were here. So what do you think of the band?
That band was incredible. What they shared between their songs, even more so. I always thought of myself as a good person, but now I'm not so sure.
I was in your shoes once. Was sure that as long as I did more good stuff than bad stuff, God would have to let me into heaven. Then someone showed me this verse. Here, hand me that pew Bible.
Here you go.
It's a book in the New Testament, written by a guy named Paul a few years after Jesus went back to heaven. Romans chapter 3. Here it is. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul lived his whole life obeying religious laws and commandments, and yet even he fell short of perfection. That verse means we're all sinners, you, me, everybody, and we can't ever do enough good to be accepted by a holy God. That's why Jesus took the punishment we deserve, so God would forgive us and accept us into his family. You can take the step to receive Christ right now, right here, if you're ready to.
I'm ready.
All right, then. Let's bow our heads to God, and you start pouring your heart out to him.
Okay. God, I've never felt you close like I do tonight. Thank you for sending your son to die for me, so that I could have eternal life with you.
You could ask for forgiveness.
Oh, yeah. Please forgive my sins and help me start living my life for you. I love you, Jesus, because you love me first, and I guess that's...
Julian gave his heart to Jesus that night. He and Bill threw out their old music and started a Christian music band. 4 years later, Julian and I started courting, and 2 years after that, we were married. His employer allowed him to telecommute, so we moved to Wichita, Kansas to be near my family, and we started living the American dream. Nice job, nice cars, new house, even a nice church.
Here, sweetheart, let me move that chair for you. Only one more row after this one.
Teamwork makes the dream work. We're almost done.
Well, you two have quite a crew of volunteers. Who are these guys?
Hi, Pastor.
The oldest one is Heidi, and that's Levi, and... we just learned the one on the way is a boy. We took a vote, and the kids liked the name Daniel.
Well, you've got a beautiful family. Most newcomers hang back, but I heard you guys jumped in right away. Hey, is there anything I can be praying about for you guys this week?
Just extra strength till this baby comes.
Will do. How about you, Julian?
Thanks, but I'm good, Pastor. Life couldn't be better.
Life was really good for a couple of years. We got into a nice routine and things felt solid in our faith and with our family. I was expecting again, this time a girl, Claire. The pastor kept asking us for things he could pray for, and Julian kept saying all was well, but it wasn't.
I really like our pastor.
Me too. When he asked about prayer requests, why didn't you tell him?
Tell him what?
About how hard it is for you to sleep at night.
It's no big deal. He's got more important things to pray about than me losing sleep. Besides, lots of guys my age struggle with insomnia. Just comes with pressures from work, that's all.
But every night you have to take pills to fall asleep. And the last time I moved your pill bottle... Well, it seems you're going through them a lot faster.
Kelly, it's just a phase. God will take care of it, you'll see. Our walk is strong. Church, giving, volunteering, nothing bad is going to happen to me or any of us. You just worry more when you're pregnant. Like whatever is bugging you now. What is bugging you?
Nothing.
Come on, give it up.
Do you ever think what we would do if one of us got sick? I mean, really sick.
Are you worried something's wrong with the baby?
No, she's fine. I don't know what we'd do if...
Honey, all is well.
I know God's given us a good life, but if anything ever happens...
Nothing's going to happen. Let's get some food. What are you hungry for?
I think the baby wants deep dish pizza. Lots of cheese. And maybe ice cream.
Wow, she's hungry.
And bossy. Looking back on those years, I realize how much our identity was defined by what we did for God and not what He did for us. Life was busy. Busy raising four kids, busy volunteering at church, and Julian was busy doing really well for his company. He was in the top 5% and the pay was great. Everything seemed perfect. But perfection is a moving target. Hi, honey. How'd your meeting go?
Hey, where are the kids?
Baby's sleeping and the rest are outside. What is it? You look worried.
Corporate's eliminating all remote staff positions, which means we can either move back to Kansas City or I take a severance and look for a different job here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, my family's here. Our friends are here. We've got a great church.
Kelly, I doubt I'll ever find a job around here as good as the one I have now. And Kansas City's only 3-hour drive from here. We'll see your family on holidays. We can always find a new church, make new friends. They gave me some time to decide.
And in time, it was Kansas City, here we come. So we packed up the kids and set off on a new adventure. We bought a bigger house, bigger cars, and even found a bigger church. The pressure at work continued to take its toll on Julian. He needed more pills than ever before to help him fall asleep. When his back started hurting, he went to see his doctor.
Take another deep breath and exhale. Good. Well, everything else checks out fine, so my diagnosis is idiopathic muscle spasms around your right shoulder blade.
Idiopathic? That mean I'm an idiot? It's all in my head?
It means unknown cause. If your backache is interfering with your job, I can prescribe something to block the pain so you'll be able to focus better.
Thanks, Doc. I'll take whatever you give me, as long as I don't become addicted to it.
I'll give you 3 refills, but you probably won't use them all. Here, take this to your pharmacy. Take them as you need them.
What is this stuff?
It's called oxycodone. It's an opioid.
Back then, none of us knew how addictive opioids were. For Julian, they were an easy fix so that he could work to help us maintain our lifestyle and also help him cope with the major change of leaving our church. Julian shifted from relying on the Lord to relying on his meds. And over time, our spiritual lives began to fade and we grew increasingly depressed about the place we were. Even though it had been our choice to move and go further into debt to keep up appearances. But underneath the appearance was an even bigger price.
You coming to bed?
Yeah, I have to brush my teeth.
Okay, I'll leave the light on for... Honey, what is that?
What?
Your legs.
Oh my goodness, what happened? What is it?
I don't know, but it looks awful. Just blood lesions everywhere.
Something's really wrong with me.
See if it's just your legs.
I don't see any on my upper body.
Honey, open your mouth and look in the mirror.
Oh, no!
We better get you to the hospital.
We'll hear the rest of Julian's story in just a moment. Here's the president of Pacific Garden Mission, Phil Kwiatkowski.
Thanks, Timothy. Here in Chicago, Pacific Garden Mission strives to serve those struggling with addiction through our New Day program. At New Day, we use a unique approach to healing a person's bondage to substances. In our positive environment, we take a person through five distinct phases to root out the core issues that keep an individual bound to substance use. Hundreds of lives have been saved, both physically and eternally, through our New Day program. For more information about what you can do to help, write us at Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Doctor, what happened? Yesterday, she was fine.
Apparently, this has been brewing for some time and just erupted. We think Kelly has a bleeding disorder called ITP. Basically, her immune system started telling her spleen to destroy her platelets, which all of us need to help with normal blood clotting. We've got her on blood transfusions and IV steroids to get the balance back.
Why is God allowing this?
Mr. Weber, we're doing everything we can. You'll need to stay strong for your wife's sake, and here's a prescription for her pain pills. I'm only prescribing 3 pills. They're strong, and that should be enough to get her through. There's a pharmacy downstairs.
Mr. Weber, I'm filling your wife's prescription here, and I can't quite make it out. It looks like it was changed from 3 pills to...
30 pills. Yeah, the surgeon changed to 30 because my wife is in a lot of pain. So if you could hurry, that'd be great.
Over the next few months, I underwent several transfusions trying to get my platelet count stabilized. After little progress, the doctors recommended removing my spleen. That turned out to be a big mistake. When they removed my spleen, my platelet count shot through the roof, so they had to give me blood thinners to keep everything in balance. And they didn't realize that the high doses of steroids shut off the blood supply to my bones. Little by little, my bones were dying and becoming brittle. When they x-rayed my skeleton, I looked like an 80-year-old woman with osteoporosis. In the end, all they could do was send me home with more meds and tell me to hope for the best. The pain was unbearable.
Hey, what are you doing out of bed?
Trying to find my pain meds. I know I had another bottle in here. You didn't take it, did you?
Here, let's get you back in bed. Come on.
I need those pills. Did you take my pills?
Lots of people have been here helping you. Anybody could have.
That's not right. We should call the police and report them. Can I have some of your pills until I get some more?
I'm sorry, sweetheart. I don't have any either. I just ran out. We'll get some more in the morning.
Julian helped me back in bed and gently tucked me in. He looked so tired and his eyes looked so troubled. He was always strong, but now his body looked heavy, like he was carrying the weight of the world on his back. As he tidied up the bed, I started to drift off to sleep. Hearing him move about the bedroom, I opened my eyes slightly and I saw him pull a bottle of pills out of his drawer and hide them in his pocket. Then I fell back to sleep. As time went on, our friends drifted further away, especially after the police contacted them when I reported that someone was stealing my medication. Like Julian, I had become dependent on pain meds just to make it through the day. Looking back, I realized that one of us was dependent on pain meds and the other addicted. Determining exactly when someone crosses the line from dependence into addiction is hard to say. Addicts learn how to hide it with one lie built upon another.
So, how's that back of yours? All better, I hope?
Hi, Doctor. Yep, still keeps me up at night. I just need my prescription refill, but when I called your front office, they said I had to see you first. I had half a bottle left, but accidentally knocked it off the bathroom counter and...
According to our records, that's the third bottle you spilled, right?
Maybe. I should be more careful, huh?
Mr. Weber, has anyone ever told you that you may have an addiction problem or even an addictive personality?
No, never. Why? I just have chronic pain, that's all, and these meds help me cope.
Tell me, am I the only doctor writing prescriptions for you, or have you been seeing other doctors, too?
Why would I do that?
Before you came in today, I called your pharmacy, and they show you picking up meds from three other doctors' offices. My guess is you might even have a spreadsheet to keep track of all the doctors you see and what pharmacies you use. Would I be right?
Spreadsheet? What are you talking about?
Julian, I'm here to help you. We've learned a lot more recently about how addictive these opioids are. So let's talk about ways I can help your addiction problem.
I keep telling you I don't have a problem. Sorry to waste your time, doctor. See you later.
The pain in my right hip became unbearable after my right hip collapsed, so the doctors recommended I have a hip replacement. During the operation, they confirmed my joints had severe osteonecrosis and were filled with holes. Friends and family members helped us the best they could, but those final months were a blur. Most nights, I would cry myself to sleep in Julian's arms. Every day, I would pray through the pain and trust that God would make tomorrow better.
I made you some eggs, just the way you like them. Here, let me help you sit up.
Ow.
Let me move that pillow for you. Better? How you feeling?
Feels like a car keeps driving over my legs. The pain doesn't stop.
Sorry, babe.
I never thought life would be this hard, did you?
Here, try to eat some breakfast so you can get your strength back.
I worry about what will happen to you and the kids if I were to die.
Hush. You're not going anywhere. You're going to get better. God's going to heal you. Heaven is a long way off, so don't even think about leaving me here with those four little monsters. Besides, no one can do the girls' French braids as well as you do. They won't even let me practice on them.
I dreamt about heaven last night.
I'd rather talk about something else. Here, take another bite.
We need to talk about it, Julian. I need to talk about it.
Okay. So what happened in your dream?
Well, Jesus was there. He helped me. He helped me realize that death is also healing. A complete healing. When I go to heaven, all this pain will be left behind and I won't ever hurt again.
Kelly.
I'll be all right. It's you I worry about. No matter what happens, don't turn your back on God or the kids. Promise me.
I promise. Now try to eat some more.
I'm too tired. I just want to sleep and dream about heaven again.
Okay. Get some rest.
Julian.
I'm still here.
Remember, you promised. Over the next 5 weeks, I drifted in and out of sleep, always waking up in pain. Whenever my kids came in the room, I let them climb on the bed and I would read stories to them. Some were about trains and builders, others about green eggs and ham. Our laughter chased the shadows of fear far away, and I felt healing begin to stir in my heart. I would also remind myself joy was all around us, even in our darkest hours. We just have to open our eyes to see it.
Hang on, Kelly. I got you. They're almost here. Don't leave us, Kelly. Hang in there.
Okay, sir. Step back.
Get an IV started right away.
Come on.
Mr. Weber?
When can I see Kelly?
Here, let's sit down for a moment.
She's going to make it, right?
The paramedics resuscitated her several times in the ambulance, but she kept flatlining. From what we can determine, a blood clot went into both of her lungs. I'm sorry. We'll keep her on life support until you're ready to say goodbye. I'm so sorry. Take a moment to prepare yourself, and then you can go back and see her.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for watching the kids. Oh, no. No, she's... Fine. Tell them. Just tell them Mom's sleeping and I'll be home soon. I gotta go. Oh, Kelly. I told the kids you were sleeping. I wish you could wake up one more time. Just one more time. Why? My God. Lord. Please, please take care of her. I want her back so bad, but I know she's in a better place. So in heaven with you. No more pain. No more pain. Tell her I love her. Tell her goodbye for me.
Hi, how can I help you?
I need some prescriptions refilled, but my regular pharmacy was out of stock.
Sure, you have the empty bottles?
Three, they all need refills.
They all for you?
No, these are for my wife.
Next week, we'll hear part two of Julian Weber's story, where we'll learn if Julian escapes from his addictions to find restoration with his loved ones. Listening friend, the book of Corinthians says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape." Do you, like Julian did, struggle with addiction? We hope this story reminds you how fragile your life can be. If God were to call you home today, would you be ready? If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. Remember to thank the manager of this station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 3567. Heard in the true story of Julian Weber, part one, were Julie Ganey, Stephen Spencer, Jim McCants, Michael Wallner, Linda Kimbrough, and Patrick Thompson. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Patrick Thompson. Sound assistant, Vicky L. Garcia. Recording engineer, David Pierczynski, and sound engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script by Scott Kirk. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410. Thanks for listening, and God bless.